Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Computer and Technology Radio with your hosts, Mark Cohen and Marcia Collier.
Well, hello and welcome. We are, in fact, Computer and Technology Radio. I am Mark Cohen. She is Marcia Collier. Another data breach, another million things going on in the tech world that we'll address today. Hello, Marcia, and how are you?
Yeah, but every day is a new day. It's done in a new creative way every time.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about it. You know, in normal cities, people rob those bank trucks, you know, the armored trucks for the bank.
Right.
Hey, in L.A., they just break into the place where the armored trucks leave their money.
What a strange story.
Was that weird?
Hopefully you know what Marcia's talking about. In Los Angeles, an armored car company, they dug into the building. They didn't try to take the car. They dug into the building straight through to the safe, apparently, and took $30 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're creative.
That's an Ocean's 11 kind of thing. I mean,
well,
that is the way
they did it. Absolutely. But there was no security guard there. And it was funny because I was listening to the radio this morning. They said, what? They couldn't have hired a fat guy to sit there for $20 an hour?
I mean, did you see they boarded it up with a piece of wood?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that'll be effective.
Just
because all the money's gone, so it doesn't make any difference.
Oh, dear Lord.
Wow.
Well, anyway, since that's not about tech, we're going to light you up with, are you with AT&T?
I am not, fortunately.
I am not either.
Yeah, honestly, Marcia, it was not a big breach. I don't know what all the hoopla is. It only affected 72 million people, 73 million users. AT&T has had a customer launch a class action lawsuit against them because allegedly they knew about that they were vulnerable, you know, and allegedly led to this breach. And they just let it go through, apparently. So there was some hacking group called Shiny Hunters, auctioning off archived data on over 70 million AT&T users.
Well, let me add something to this. You're talking about 73 million users. And you know, we toss around numbers these days and we don't think about it. There are only 39 million people in the state of California, which is the most populous state in the Union.
Right.
So, I mean, and the worst part is only small percentage of it. It was 7.6 million current users. There were 65.4 million former AT&T customers. So if you ever had a mobile phone with AT&T,
which I did 100 years ago.
Well, see if you get the letter.
Wow. I mean, it's kind of crazy that they have that. And you know what? If people left AT&T, they deserve to have all their data sold. You know, if they're so rude as they would leave the company.
Right, right.
But it only included their full names, their email addresses, their physical addresses, in some cases, their social security and dates of birth.
Anytime you apply for credit, which you do when you go with a service, they need your social security number, which, by the way, nobody else needs unless you're applying for credit. So don't give that away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just too much.
Yeah, you know, they are not a sponsor. LifeLock, Marcia and I both use LifeLock, and they're pretty good about stopping those kinds of things, and they're not that expensive. I don't remember quite what it costs monthly, but that's something that you might want to consider, since how often, if you're a listener to the show, you hear us talk about these breaches. For a while, it seemed like it was every other day. It slowed down a little bit, but now it's back on again with a big company like AT&T.
Well, you know that they will also pay for credit monitoring services.
Yeah, they all give you that crap.
They all do that. And the problem is when you go to a credit monitoring service, you have to give them all your information, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's really not a whole lot you can do except change your passwords because not even just that. I mean, your address and everything. If there's any way, and I wasn't prepared to go into it, but just real briefly, if you have a Google One account, they have an option. I think you have to pay for it. It's not much. That they will scour the web and look for if your name comes up in the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
And also, have I been pwned the website? But that you have to go to. I heard that somebody who has that Google protection got an email about this on March 22nd. March 22nd. That was
on the AT&T?
Yeah. So Google caught it right away.
Too bad AT&T didn't. But they're busy. They're a big company.
Yeah, you know, too big to fail, right?
Yeah, they were answering my phone call about why I was having DirecTV issues. So that's understandable. A little crazy, huh?
Well, okay. You know, they say they don't have evidence of unauthorized access, but all this stuff is for sale on the dark web. So
yeah. How do you get on that dark web thing in case I want to find something?
You know, that's funny because we were talking about that before. The dark web is where you don't know how to go to it unless you have bad intentions. So
right.
Just don't worry about it. You don't want to go there. You don't want to log in there. I don't even know if anything bad would happen to you because we don't know how to protect ourselves from just logging in to a Tor browser, which is the one you need. I mean, it may show your IP address or something.
Which for some reason reminds me of something that just happened to me a couple of weeks ago. My daughter wanted me to go to a website. It was a cookie website. For some reason, she wanted me to look at the website. And she gave me the URL of the website. And it was something loves cookies.
Yeah.
And so I typed in, I don't remember the name now. So Joe loves cookies. And I spelled L-O-V-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a warning on my screen that you are entering a site that may be not only pornographic, but child porn, which just freaked me out.
Oh, my God.
And fortunately, the website I meant to go to was exactly the same, only it was spelled L-U-V instead of L-O-V-E-S.
That's love. Insane. That's
and so
insane.
I took a screenshot of the actual website. God forbid anybody, you know, comes. It really freaked me out. Oh, my God, what do I do now? So, you know, it was an innocuous name, too. So be careful.
So your daughter's sending you to these websites, huh?
Yeah, well, not the one, you know, she just didn't spell it, or I didn't pay attention to the spelling, like I say. And it was the same name as the website, just love spelled differently. So that was a little bit disconcerting, needless to say.
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so Dropcam and Nest, they're going to stop working?
Yeah, I was trying to find, and I haven't been able to find it. We got a letter from a listener that had, I think I can say his name, but he didn't give me permission to, so I can't. And he said, just a note to say thank you for the Computer and Technology Radio podcast. Oh. I discovered your podcast recently and appreciate it as a highly informative show regarding consumer electronics.
Well, that's nice.
And that was very nice. And he said a couple of nice things about my books, but very, very happy to hear from him. It's nice when we hear from you. We have a Facebook page, but you can find us. It's the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Just type Computer and Technology Radio, and you'll find us on every streaming service out there.
Okay, so you were asking about Dropcam and Nest.
Yeah.
We don't use Dropcam, but I don't use Nest security devices. Remember how we kind of laughed at the Yale locks?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we're putting that in, right?
Right.
But it seems that Dropcam, which are some security cameras that neither of us use, but many of you may use them, the Dropcam Pro, and the Nest Secure will find your device unusable, totally. They're just dropping support. It's not going to work anymore.
And that's not far off. I mean, if they just made this announcement, they gave people a week to know that?
Well, and if you're a member of Nest Aware, the subscription plan for Google Nest users, you'll get a free Nest camera.
Okay.
If you're not a member, you can get 50% off.
Okay.
A new Nest camera. Nest Aware starts at $8 a month or $80 a year. Not doing that either.
No, right. You have a Nest thermostat.
We have a Nest thermostat and that's it. And I mean, we're mainly Google stuff over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more I think about it, I unplugged the Alexa.
Right.
Sorry, folks. Mm-hmm. But you know, the locks. We talked about these smart locks the day they came out. And with people who have got that device where they can knock out your Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, high school kids can get this device. It's not a big secret.
Right.
And rob you. Come on.
Yeah.
The having their front door locked, it has to have at least a punch, you know, like a key number thing where you can put in a number or something.
Right.
Something so you can get into it, because those are very expensive.
Oh, they are. And again, the warning we always give, don't have an indoor camera, only you have an out-facing camera to the street or to the backyard or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. And we have 14 now.
You got a lot.
We have got every nook and cranny. Well, my husband, he needed a project. So he put cameras like at the far corners. We are everywhere. You can't drop a drone onto this.
Yeah, exactly. when I come by your house, I put on one of those green suits, you know, like in the movies, so you can't see me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Yeah.
But one thing I wondered, because Google partnered with ADT on home security. This at CES. Could that be why they're dropping their systems?
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Because those cameras will probably work on the smart home security at ADT.
Well, okay.
Which, like we said, get a wired system.
Just, yeah, there you go.
Even just do it.
So, you know, I've only shopped once at Amazon Fresh. And it was that you know, telling me, go do it. And I did it. And it's an interesting experience. But apparently they're going to be changing the just walkout technology from Amazon Fresh.
Well, the Amazon Fresh in Los Angeles, where we live, wasn't a just walkout store. The just walkout stores were like in New York. They were kind of like bodegas, kind of like a 7-Eleven where you walk in, scan your card. And when you left, it would total it up and send you an invoice.
Right.
That it charged your credit card. So they're doing away with that. I wonder why. They are going to be using more of the smart carts, which I truly enjoy shopping with. Mm-hmm. These smart carts have a scale in them. So if you have bananas, it'll weigh the bananas as you put them in.
That's
you know.
Funny. Yeah. I don't remember.
Right. It uses barcodes. It's a lot of fun to shop with. Plus, you have a screen in front of you that tells you exactly how much you're spending.
You know, that's interesting, because when I went into the store, and I went to the one in, where was I? I don't remember which Amazon Fresh store it was that I went into to go through. I didn't see anything that told me how much I was spending.
It's in the handlebar.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that in
there. I think you and I have to do a field trip.
Yeah, we should do that.
We should. Yeah, there's one in Porter Ranch. It's right. Close to both of us.
Yeah, we should give that a try.
We should do that, and you can give your impression. But the bottom line is they're going to be spending more money in the smart cart technology. Then I read another story this morning, that it seems the just walkout technology, the rumor, you know, not guaranteeing that this is true. I read it on the internet, so you never know, right?
Well, it must be true then if you read it
right,
on the internet.
Right, it must be. That the just walkout technology relied more on 1,000 people in India who were viewing cameras in the stores.
Oh, wow.
And that must have been expensive. So, you know, add that to how much people probably shoplifted.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Anyway,
I wonder if they miss items. You know, because if you throw stuff in your cart, you know, I mean, if you miss it, lucky you, they didn't charge you for it. But I wonder if it's efficient enough to pick up everything that someone puts into a cart.
Well, the smart carts are, because they have a scale.
Right.
And every item in the store is in the main computer, and they know how much weight that will add to your cart.
Right.
So if you put two in, it's going to know it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So are you all hopped up for the big eclipse?
Truthfully, no.
Yeah, if I was there, you know, at the area of totality, I would be jazzed. I really, really wanted to go. So, you know, I could be part of it because I hear kind of a life-changing experience.
I think it's interesting, but I don't have any burning desire to be there or see it, but okay.
Well, I had this big plan where we were going to fly to Dallas.
Oh, yeah, you said you were going to go someplace.
Yeah, well, and my husband said, fine, you're screwing me out of the trip of a lifetime.
You could go and leave him home.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I could take your wife. But
that'd be great, yeah.
But the deal is, I hear it's going to be dark and stormy in Dallas, so that will definitely affect how one will view the eclipse. But those of you who can see the eclipse, however you see it, I think we see a 47% eclipse.
Yeah, something like that.
Here in Los Angeles. You can use your phone to take a picture. You have to use a tripod. You're not going to be able to just set your phone up and take a picture. You're going to have to use the timer because you don't want to dare jiggle the phone because it's going to be a long exposure picture.
Yeah, sure.
And you're going to have to use not the autofocus, but the pro area on your phone, you know, where you can set up the speed of the lens and get all that exact so you can get the picture. You know, you can try to zoom in, but you have to use a filter on your phone. I don't know if just taping a pair of the solar eclipse glasses that.
Seems like too much work to me.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
I'll watch it on the news.
No, I got a pair of, we got two pair of solar eclipse glasses. I'll, you know, look outside, but every year there's been an eclipse in my life. I have made one of those gizmos out of a tube where you have paper at one end. And the only thing is, all you see is the sun, and it's maybe half an inch big.
Right.
So, you know, it's like an emoji. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me know how that works out for you. I'll be watching it later. I'll wait till the movie comes out.
You're going to wait till... Oh, well, NASA will be live streaming it. I know on X and on their website. And So
that's a good way to watch it.
You know.
Okay.
You know, now
it is time. The time of the show where we search the planets, the universe, and Best Buy, or the buy of the week. That was a short, there we go. Did you drop the drumstick?
Yeah, responsive technology.
Yeah, really.
In the old days, you'd push a button.
Well,
buttons
worked.
Touch screens, not so much.
We had, talk about the old days, when I was at KABC, we had special effects buttons on the screen.
Yeah, they do it at KFI too. Yeah.
So, you know, those were really fun to use, and they didn't require a lot of work. Just, you know, hit the laugh button.
Okay, you got your drum roll, bub. What do you got for us this week?
All right, so what I got is, this is a really nice deal on a Chromebook. And just so you know, a Chromebook is kind of a scaled-down laptop that doesn't give you all those things, like if you want to get Microsoft Office or, you know, a multitude of add-ons. But it does pretty much everything you need a computer to do.
But you can use Google Docs, Google Spreadsheets. You can use
all
that
stuff. So this is the HP 15.6-inch, nice-size laptop, Chromebook. It's got the Intel processor, the N200. Comes with 8 gig of memory, 64 gigabytes of eMMC. Comes in silver. And the Intel is, you know, considered to be one of the better graphics processors and graphics. They have the Intel graphics card. And as Marcia said, you know, it gives you pretty much everything that you need to do. It's great for college students. It's great for you, for anyone at home that doesn't want to spend a fortune on a laptop, but wants to be able to do all the things that you can, you know, pretty much all the things you can do in a laptop without spending a fortune to do it. And it's got what else does it have? 64 gigabytes of storage. It's got the UHD ultra high def graphics card. And it is available today at Best Buy. It's had 824 reviews, 4.6 out of 5 stars. So that's about as good as you can get on a review. And the normal price on this is $3.99. It is on sale at Best Buy for $2.99. So you save $100 on it. And you can even do a payment plan with Best Buy if you want to do that. But again, it's the HP 15.6 Chromebook Intel processor, 8 gig of memory, available at Best Buy, marked down from $3.99 to $2.99. And that is our buy of the week.
That sounds reasonable. That sounds like a good deal. And really, I think we're going to all end up with Chromebooks in the end anyway.
Yeah, it could be.
Really. I mean, we won't be missing anything.
No, for sure. Okay, OpenAI voice cloning. What is that?
Well, voice equals what we're doing right now, voice talking.
Yeah, that much I got.
Copying your voice.
Okay.
You know, they say that there will be gravestones in the future where you can have your, as people walk by, you can say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that, which I'm not thinking is too bad of an idea.
Right.
Get
a little video window in there with a picture of you.
Yeah,
at the gravesite.
Yeah, a little, maybe a GIF, you know, if there's not a lot of room for technology.
Right.
No Wi-Fi. But back to reality here.
Mm-hmm.
So OpenAI, and we've all heard about OpenAI, they're offering limited access to a text-to-voice generation platform. Okay, it's called a voice engine, which can create a synthetic voice based on, what, a 15-second clip of someone's voice.
Okay.
The AI-generated voice can read out text prompts on command in the same language as a speaker, or in a bunch of other languages, which just begs me to think of the warning that we've all gotten about AI. Mm-hmm. If all someone needs is a 15-second clip of your voice.
Yeah.
They can make you say just about anything.
It's like a Mission Impossible movie where you say, those are the kind of things that you should do. You know, get a voice clip. You know, if it's voice activated and you have your voice, then you're screwed.
And frankly, I'm all about AI, but this is getting ridiculous. Really. I mean, is this developing it and giving everybody access to it instead of having it part of, you know, the kind of software that NASA uses or something? I don't know.
Yeah. But I'm not even sure why you want this.
Yeah. Well, yay to translate to other languages in your
own voice.
Well,
that would be good. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But does it have to really do that? Is that
really necessary?
But there's
a million translator programs out there. It doesn't have to be in your own voice.
Right. So I think, and I respect OpenAI as innovators and everything, I think what they're doing is great, but I'm thinking that this is not something that will do well in the hands. I mean, think about it. You get a phone call in your grandchild's voice. Hey, Grandpa, they're holding me here.
What? Yeah.
Right?
That's sad,
and
but
it's
true.
In their voice.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember seeing the story, but apparently the FCC last month banned robocallers using AI voices. People were getting spam calls from allegedly Joe Biden. I never saw that story come out.
I never got a call. Well, all my political calls go right to spam as well as the text. So there you go.
Yeah, that's a little crazy, isn't it? So
I
guess one of those things
good.
That's interesting, but who cares?
Well, we should care and we should be worried about it. But a second thing that I found out, and
yes,
I don't know what else we really want our smartphones to do. I mean, we read news on them. We use them in so many ways, but I really don't think what do we want it to be, a printer too?
Right.
These new things they're adding because they have to sell new phones. But this I saw as an accessibility benefit. People with low vision who want to take pictures.
Right.
And, you know, if you have low vision and you take a picture, you can look at it and pinch it out and see the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. It's called Google Frame. And it's on the Pixel series of phones, which means it will eventually end up on all Android. So what it does, it uses audio and gesture-based instructions to navigate the phone. So you hold up the phone, either the front camera or the back camera.
Okay.
And so it doesn't matter which way. And it will let you know how to move the phone to position the rear front camera to frame the main object you're holding it up to. It guides you to move your head to take the best shot. Not real sure how that works. When faces are framed correctly, your Pixel can automatically take a photo. Or you can, you know, manually press the volume button to take a picture. One of the ways it does this is by, you know, the haptic buzz kind of thing in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it tells you by a haptic to move it a little to the left, move it a little to the right, and then it buzzes something to let you know you have it perfectly in the center of the picture.
Right.
I think this is a great idea. And this will help visually impaired people an awful lot. So it's part of the Google TalkBack feature because I think it talks to you.
Okay.
And it recognizes faces, pets, food, drinks, documents, electronic devices, vehicles like a car, bike, or truck. Works best with a single subject. But this is good. I mean, you can do this, and I will test it out because I think it's a great option.
Hey, by the way, if you listen to us on the East Coast, say New York or New Jersey, and you moved out of California to avoid the earthquakes, oops. I had a friend who lives in Florida, and he said his parents live in New Jersey, and they were like in panic mode. What is this? You know, an earthquake in New Jersey?
Apparently, I heard someone talking who thought they were having a stroke.
it's not funny because we've been in California to live through multiple earthquakes.
Right, and apparently, exactly.
You know, they have had earthquakes in New Jersey before, but apparently they're few and far between. Might as well move back to California. No, don't move back to California. Stay on the East Coast.
Stay anywhere. Stay away from here. Save yourself.
We don't need any more traffic.
Well, save yourself from California. Okay, so you seem to have a need to have a secret phone number.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. People have been talking about, you know, call them burner phones for years. You know, you always see them on TV shows and, you know, crime shows and all kinds of stuff. A burner that can't be traced. And for the most part, that's actually true. But there are new things that you can actually do to get a secondary line if you don't want people to have your first line. And I discovered this year. I moved companies. And I was thinking, you know, for the first couple of months, I wanted to get a cell phone I didn't want to give out my own personal cell phone. So I wanted to get a cell phone that was a secondary line so people could call me if they need to.
And you didn't remember how I taught you about Google Voice free phone numbers.
Yes, Google Voice was one of the options, but this was even frankly better for me. Because I went to the Verizon store and I said, look, I need a second phone. And she said, why? And I said, blah, blah, blah. She said, oh, we'll just put a second line on your phone with a completely different phone number.
Right.
And I went, huh?
Well, those are dual SIM phones. I've had those for years.
Well, yeah, but this is not, you don't need a dual SIM card with this. They actually put a second line on. It's $10 a month, although I read that they are going to $15 a month. But it will give you a completely independent phone number. So when your phone rings.
Well, it says right here, Verizon's latest plan lets you add a second number to your dual SIM device for just $10 a month.
Yeah, they're raising it to 15 apparently.
Yeah.
But that's a great idea. You know, if you have a business number and you know that when someone calls on the business number, if you don't want to answer it or you see who it is, this way it avoids giving out your personal phone. So a burner is typically what they call a no-contact prepaid mobile phone. Usually it's cheap. You know, you don't spend a lot of money. You don't buy a $1,200 phone, but you buy it for cash for privacy reasons. You can activate with a caller and online while you're using it, and then you can just throw it away if you don't want it anymore.
And the smart way is to get an unlocked phone instead of getting it from a phone store. They support eSIM standards.
Right.
And that way it's an electronic SIM. It doesn't really – you can have any name on it. You can have – just like Mark said. But it's best always – to get an unlocked phone. You get yours direct from Apple, so they are probably unlocked.
Yep.
They don't care who your carrier is.
No, right.
But frankly, even on my business cards is my Google Voice number, which if somebody calls that number, I immediately get a text with a transcription.
Telling you who it is, yeah.
Oh, well, by the way, I'll have to attest with you after the show real quick, because there's a new thing on my Pixel phone that answers the calls for me.
Oh, nice.
It says, hi, I'm a Google Assistant. And we'll test it out and we can review it next week. It's kind of fun. And it really helps when I can't take a call.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Yes, I mean, you can good. Also, by the way, there's a lot of software programs that you can use. There's one called Hush, which is $2.99 for 7 days. And then the international plan started $6.99 a month, unlimited calls and text, where it's an actual app. It's much like a burner. It has service in 40 countries. That's one, you know, one of the apps that you can use if you, as opposed to just going out and getting a second phone.
Google Voice is free. I mean, I just.
Yeah, Google Voice is free, right.
A prepaid plan from any of the providers.
Right.
Will work. I have a prepaid phone with a different phone number.
Right.
That I'm not giving up. So, yeah, there's all kinds of ways, but the Google Voice is the cheapest way.
Yeah, that is. So there's a lot of apps, or you can go, as Marcia said, no reason not to use Google if it's for free.
Now, what the next story I have to tell you about, I have not done this myself, so let me warn you about that.
Okay.
You know how on an iPhone you can make stickers out of photographs?
Sure.
So on the Android phone, they just introduced Photomoji.
Okay.
What is a Photomoji, you ask?
What is a Photomoji, Marja?
Basically, it's like making a sticker on an iPhone and turning it into an emoji.
Okay.
So that full-size photo now becomes an emoji, which is kind of cute.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to be careful. A nice one of your dog you could use, all kinds of things. And that is new in the latest Android 14 update. It'll be in your messages and open settings to do that. And you have to open Photomoji. And if you don't see a new icon on the tab, you obviously haven't updated yet and your manufacturer hasn't done it yet.
Mm.
But it's very easy to use. You just take a picture and press the button and it makes it into an emoji. So there you go.
Okay. Couple quick tips for improving your mobile signal. Sometimes your signals just don't work well. Sometimes I'll go out and I'll find that it's just not picking up a signal at all. So there's some tips you can try on your iPhone. You can actually just toggle airplane mode on or off. So wait about 10 seconds and then turn it on, turn it off, wait about 10 seconds, and then turn it back on. And that causes your phone to actually recheck what networks are available. And you can usually find airplane mode in your iPhone control settings. If you just pull down from the top,
and
you'll find airplane mode
right
on there.
Same place, same thing in Android.
Yeah, same thing in an Android. You get a new SIM. It's possible that if you've been with your carrier a long time, your SIM card might not connect to the latest networks. So you might try a new SIM card. And SIM cards usually are free from the carrier that you're with.
Yeah,
they
I'm not buying you. That. You can refresh your connections in settings, but that's a little advanced.
Yeah.
You know, or they say you should clean yours. I move my SIM card so often, I try not to touch it.
Right. Well, that's a good idea. It's hard. And they're small.
They're real small.
Yeah. I mean, you can change from 4G to 5G, 5G to 4G, back and forth if your phone allows you to do that, which I believe most do.
That's in your data options, sure.
Yeah, you can do that. Change your setting on there. Use Wi-Fi instead of cellular. I use Wi-Fi at home all the time because I don't have a cellular signal. And Wi-Fi calling is, for me, so much better than cellular calling. It's just beyond ridiculous. So you can change to use Wi-Fi instead of cellular. That's one way.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was telling you about all the cameras my husband put in. The mesh networks that we both have are not cheap.
No, they're not.
Right. And you have a lot of rooms, right?
Yep.
And each of those mesh hubs, each of the little thingies, technically is its little router that you can plug into if you want, right? Same with Eero. We're having some work done on the foundation of the house, and he ran Ethernet under the house. So our mesh network, which is a Wi-Fi network, also now has wired routers all over the house. which are not routers. They're the actual units, but the signal's rocking through the house. I mean, it's really great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it's hardwired, it's always best.
Yep, absolutely. So let's do some movies and some talk. Apparently, Disney's got a new Star Wars series coming out, Tales of the Empire. I am so lost in the Star Wars world. There's so many different TV shows and movies and whatever. I can't keep track of virtually, other than Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia, I've lost every character that was ever involved in Star Wars. The Mandalorian, which came out 2 years ago, was an excellent series, and I've watched that. But apparently this new one has just come out, and it's called, or going to be coming out on Disney Plus, and Tales of the Jedi. So our Tales of the Empire, rather. Is that of interest to you?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. And I love Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Not much of that's very of interest to me.
No, I
know.
I started watching one of the new Star Treks, and the guy's great that plays Captain Pike, I think.
Yes, I do love that one, and we have to go back to it because we streamed about half of those episodes, but we knew it would always be there.
Yeah, exactly.
And we know we'll always love it, so that we can just go there and look at it.
There you go.
So, okay, the movies. You give us the top 10 movies streaming.
Top 10. Okay, number one, I watched, enjoyed Roadhouse, the remake of the Patrick Swayze Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal. You know, one of those kick-ass, I don't know, you like it, Marcia, one of the kick-ass, you know, beat-up, pummeled people.
My type of movie, you bet.
Your type of movie. Anatomy of a Fall, I have not seen that on Hulu, don't know much about it. We've talked about Poor Things, which was very entertaining. And as we said, that she won Best Actress, and I just went blank, Emma Stone. She was great in that. Still Oppenheimer on there as number four. The Passion of the Christ. Is that the old one? I guess it's the old one. I don't know. That came out a long time ago. American Fiction, another
excellent. Yeah, it came out in 2004.
Yeah, I was going to say it's an old movie.
Well, it's Easter,
which makes you wonder why these things, they
so
usually
what do you
pop
expect?
Up. Yeah, I don't know. And then Dune, which again, I have not had the opportunity to watch, but people keep telling me that it's really good. That's on Max and Hulu. Damsel, which I enjoyed, a lot of fun. Heard mixed things about Ghostbusters Afterlife. I think that's the new one that just came out, that I don't know that it's gotten great reviews. And Wonka, which was very entertaining. So that's your movie updates.
Well, the top 10 streaming TV shows, which are all episodic, and this is where your binging status comes in.
Right.
Number one is Three Body Problem, and I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, I watched it. I enjoyed it.
It was really entertaining.
A little confusing, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was confusing. But what was interesting is we logged on to Netflix, which is what Three Body Problem was has been number one for the longest time. And all of a sudden, the new number one, which isn't even on the list, was Testament, a documentary on Moses.
On Moses, yeah.
Which, did you see that?
I have not seen it, no.
It is excellent.
Is
it's
it good?
Told from the background of all the major religions in the country.
Hmm, interesting.
They have priests, ministers, all religions talking about it, because it seems Moses seems to show up everywhere in every Bible. So
right.
I have to tell you, it's only three episodes. They're long episodes, but my husband and I found it so interesting that we binged it, and it was a lot to watch.
Yeah, I have to watch that.
And it was very good. Number two is A Gentleman in Moscow.
That looks interesting.
He kind of looks pretty dapper. It's on Paramount. Yeah. And it's a new movie. A Russian aristocrat is spared from death and placed on house arrest while the Bolshevik Revolution plays out before him. Yawn. But, you know, maybe it's good. Could be.
Maybe.
Number three, Quiet on the Set.
I
on
watched
Max.
It.
And?
A documentary on some evil things that happen on
Nickelodeon.
Now,
I was told I need to see that.
Yeah, it's entertaining, it's interesting, and it's highly disturbing.
And it was about child stars in Hollywood.
Yep.
That's on Max. Yeah, I guess I have to watch that.
Yeah. Only three episodes.
And three is enough, right?
Yeah, right. It is enough, yeah.
And Shogun, which is a big winner.
I couldn't get into it.
That's number four. Number five, The Gentleman, which I adored. It was
very
entertaining. A lot of fun and entertaining.
Yep.
And didn't confuse you one bit.
No, right.
Then We Were the Lucky Ones on Hulu. Did you see that?
That's interesting.
We Were the Lucky Ones is, let me see, just on Hulu. Oh, no. This is the one that I believe won the Academy. No. A Jewish family is determined to survive and reunite after being separated in World War II.
Oh.
We Were the Lucky Ones. That sounds not bad.
Yeah.
That sounds not bad. So give that a try.
Mm-hmm.
Palm Royale is number seven.
And? I want to watch it. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, that's on Apple TV Plus.
Yep.
The Chosen, another mm-hmm. good Easter film mm-hmm. on Prime Video. Resident Alien.
Yep, still haven't seen it.
Number
Probably
nine.
Won't.
And number 10, Apples Never Fall.
Very entertaining.
There's a lot of good stuff on online and on broadcast. So there's plenty to keep you occupied
there
when
you
you're not listening to our show.
No, and please do.
Yeah. Oh, this is good. I just clicked back to the studio and I have a blank screen. Oh, there we go.
Uh-oh. No music?
Oh, well, I'm sure we can work that out.
Well, there we go. Hey, everybody, as always, thank you for listening to us. Thank you for being here. We'll be here with you next weekend. Please call us, write us, phone us, whatever you want to do. Just listen to the show.
Yeah, let us know what you'd like to hear about on the show, because we like giving you the news, and it seems some of you like us. You really like us.
Yeah, thanks.
So please
thanks,
subscribe,
Sally.
Review, and thank you for the last person who posted that review on Apple. It was great. We're here for you every week.
You've been listening to Computer and Technology Radio with your hosts, Mark Cohen and Marcia Collier, produced by Brain Food Radio Syndication, global food for thought.
Bye-bye. Okay, so maybe we have a show. Something went wrong. Stopping. Please reload and try again.